And so whether you're a first-time visitor or, you know, you live in Seattle or you're kind of visiting from out of town, just really glad you're here today. As always, there are different type of announcements in the bulletin, and we don't spend a lot of time on them because we're always crunched for time here, and so just want to let you know that there are announcements there, important things, and you can take your time to look at those. But before you do, what I want you to do is you could all stand up, okay, and take some time to greet those around you and remain standing because we're going to have the scripture read to us. So go, please, and introduce yourself to people around you, please. Thank you, bud. Appreciate you so much, Andy.
Yeah.
I really do. Yeah, just your faithfulness and your love for the church here and for me.
All right. 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 11. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says, Jesus is accursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except in the Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the workings of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, and to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 11. God's word to us. You may be seated.
Thank you, Andy. So we've been going through the letter, 1 Corinthians, for 9 weeks now. And each week we've been taking apart a particular dysfunction, a particular issue at the church, and just kind of going through it and seeing what the issue was and how that applies to us today. If you remember, the church was only, at this time, maybe about between 3 and 5 years old, mostly new believers. And the problems were stemming from the fact not that they were in the world, but that they were too much of the world and bringing that world into the church. And so beginning at chapter 11 last week, Paul was addressing the problems now in their worship service. He talked about their practice of communion, that it wasn't really communion because they were leaving out the poor. And then now in chapter 12, Paul moves to the subject of spiritual gifts, which is how the church functions and advances its mission. So communion, when he talks about communion, that was about how the church relationship and interacts with one another. Now he's talking about spiritual gifting, which is the way that the church moves its mission forward. Now, one thing that as we talk about spiritual gifts, and Paul's going to talk a lot about spiritual gifts in the next couple of chapters, is that I hope that you're encouraged that even though the church was, this is, you know, the messiest church in the first century with so many issues and really deep-seated problems, that God did not cease to continue giving his gifts to the church. That no matter how messy the church got, God loves his church, and he continued to bless his church with gifts, with powerful gifts, so the church can continue moving on forward. And so I hope that is just an encouragement to all of us that no matter how bad things can get at church sometimes, no matter how frustrated you can be at church sometimes, God will always look at the church with hope. And he will always look at a struggling church through the eyes of hope and through the eyes of that it can turn around. And the reason that God always looks at the church that way is because he always sees you and I with hope. And he always sees the turnaround in each of us. So Paul begins this discussion on spiritual gifts, and he brings it to like the very basic level, beginning at verse 1. He says, now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, because men and women are gifted equally, I do not want you to be uninformed. He's saying there's something that you need to know. You know that when you were pagan, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, what does Paul say? Well, Paul is referring to the fact that most of the people in their church were new believers. Again, this church is only between 3 and 5 years old. They were coming from one of two places. Few of them were coming from the synagogue. In chapter 1, I spent that first or second week talking about how Paul ministered to the synagogue first. And the two leaders of the synagogue, they became believers. So you have a group of people that are coming from the synagogue, but the majority of people in this church were Gentiles, and they're coming from a pagan background. And so if you think about it, they were formerly in those pagan temples, or they were in the synagogue, and when they heard about the church coming, and they heard about these disciples of Christ coming, and they heard about Jesus, who was this hick carpenter from Nazareth, right, who ended up dying on the cross, people were just like, who is this person? You know, he's no political leader. He's not reformed, refined like us, you know. He's not wealthy like us. He's not an intellectual like us. Curse this Jesus. You know, curse this movement, curse these people. You know, they're nothing. He is no Lord. And so Paul, he's focusing on the way that people would speak about, initially about the church, and he's using that because so many of the spiritual gifts that exist are speaking gifts. Like, it's the tongue is our platform. You talk about preaching, you talk about teaching, encouragement, discernment, administration, prayer, prophecy, mercy. I mean, the tongue is the seat, the platform in which all of these gifts are kind of springboarding off to. So he says, at the very basic, the way that you speak, the way that you say things, never ever use your tongue. Kind of like going back to the Ten Commandments, right? Don't use your tongue to curse the church. Don't use your tongue to curse God. Don't use your tongue. Use your tongue to bless the church and to bless God. See, all that can go wrong with the church. When a church goes really wrong, when it goes sideways, is that we always need to use our tongue to speak encouragement and to speak hope and to speak positive change and blessing, because God is the head of the church. You know, before, I did not grow up in the church, and I did not grow up in a Christian household. And so I started my Christian journey really when I was in college. But my impression of Christians up to that time was pretty much in line with what the rest of the world kind of thought about Christians. I didn't have any Christian friends, really. I never went to church. But my impression of what Christians were like were like they were unloving, they were judgmental, they were hypocritical. Now, I was all those things too, right? But that didn't stop me from, excuse me, from judging Christians. But the thing is this, is that when I became a Christian, I had this honeymoon period with the church where everything was perfect in the church and fellowship was perfect and all my friends were perfect and my relationship with God, everything, excuse me, was perfect. But after that, about like, you know, 8 months to a year, I just started seeing all these things, some things in the church that were just really ugly. You know, friendships, you know, imploding, people hating each other. And Angel and I, we've been through some really difficult situations in our church experience with churches splitting and things like that. And there have been times in my early spiritual walk where I would just think, you know, it's not too late to get out. It's not too late to just walk away from this Christianity thing. That would actually literally go through my mind. Because, you know, have you ever been discouraged as a Christian? Raise your hand. Ever been discouraged? Yeah, all of us, right? We're discouraged by so many different things in the church or different relationships that affect us in a negative way. And we're like, this is Christianity? Like, this is church? We're kind of, you know, that indignation, right? And there's a part of us, again, that feels like, I just want to walk away. It might be better just to walk away. Is God really working? Is God really changing people? You know, is this Christianity thing really good? And I would get to that place, and I would just doubt. but here's the thing, that the thought that always brought me back was this, was that if I curse Jesus and say, this church thing, you know, forget it. This God thing, this Jesus thing, just forget it. If I were to say that, if I were to walk away from that, I'm really just walking away from myself. Because if there's no hope for the church of God working through his people, because they're the body of Christ, if there's no hope for them, then there's no hope for me. If I were to walk away from them, I'm really walking away from me. If there's no hope for change for them, then there's no hope for change for me either. And in those times, as we tend to think about, oh, God just doesn't love me, and he's not really there, and then every time, I'd always just think of the cross. I'd always look at the cross, and that would always be like, oh, yeah, God does love me. You know, oh, yeah, God would never curse me. God would never leave me. God would never abandon me. And so I couldn't do that. No matter how messy the church got, I always came back to the cross and said, you know what? God would never abandon me. I could never abandon God either. So here's the thing. If you ever see things that are messed up in the church, because there's always going to be things messed up in the church, right? Here's an important thing is don't curse God. Don't leave the church, because God will never curse you and God never leaves you. What you do is, in that first week, you get that garbage bag out, right? I gave every single one of you guys a garbage bag. You get that garbage bag out, you get on your knees, and you clean with, and you serve with Jesus, because God will use you to clean up the mess and to make something beautiful, okay? So, Paul continues that there are different kinds of gifts. And so if you have your Bible, you want to serve that word, circle that word gifts. It's the word charisma in Greek. The word charisma, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, and you want to circle that word service. In the Greek, it's the word diakone. In Greek, it literally means ministry. So there are different kinds of ministry that is given to us, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them, in every one, it is the same God at work. And so first thing I want you to notice is the Trinitarian theology there, okay? There is mentioned the Spirit, the Son, and God. And it's all wrapped in this idea of a spiritual gift, that it is your spiritual gift that you're given emanates from the will of the Holy Spirit, from the heart of Jesus, who is the servant, and from the creativity and the innovation of God, who is the great creator and the giver of the gift. And so what's different about this word charisma is that when we think of charisma, in our modern-day language, we think of that person has charisma, and we think, wow, is he. He is an amazing person, or she is amazing because she has so much charisma. But the way that it works in the Christian is that God will give you and gives us amazing gifts. But it's not about us, right? It's not about how great we are, but it's about the one who gave the gift to us. And so, now, the next good question is, who are the recipients, then, that Paul goes into of these gifts? Who gets these gifts? Is it just the pastor? Is it just the missionary person who gives up all their possessions and goes out to serve in some poor country? Is it the people who get up at 5 a.m. to pray? Who are the people who get these spiritual gifts? Verse 7, now to each one. Verse 11, he distributes them to each one. Say each one. Each one. Okay, one more time. Say each one.
Each one.
Okay. So, he says, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. And if you have the Bibles, you can circle that word, that phrase, common good. It's just one word in the Greek, and it means profit. That this gift given to you, I know it's a gift, and it sounds like, you know, when we think of gifts, it's gifts, well, it's for me, right? But the gift that's given to you is supposed to be for the profit of the common good, for the profit of other people. So when you become a follower of Jesus, when you ask Jesus to be the Lord of your life, there's a radical change in your life. Your soul is literally resurrected from the dead. You were under sin and darkness, captive there, but now you are alive to the law of love in Christ. And God gives you three things. He gives you Christ. He gives you charisma, and you use that charisma for ministry. He gives you himself. He gives you a gift. And for those of you who are serving, you know that typically God doesn't just give you one gift. He gives you several gifts, two, three, four gifts, so that you can use this for ministry. God gives every single person a ministry that you can devote to all your time. It's like full-time ministry that God has given every single one of you to bless others, to profit others through those ministries. So every single one of us, you have the capacity to bless others. You have the empowerment to make other people's lives significantly better through your love and through the kingdom of God flowing through you. Every single person here has that ability. Now, Paul, he begins to list some of these gifts. And in chapter 12, this list is not meant to be exhaustive. Other passages list other gifts as well. And so I put the listing kind of, this is, I think, pretty exhaustive. Romans 12, there's a listing of gifts. Again, this is that Paul who wrote. 1 Corinthians, again, a lot of them. Ephesians 4. And then there's a lot of miscellaneous passages that have these other gifts. For example, celibacy, right? It's the gift that nobody wants. And and all these other, you know, martyrdom. You know, I'm not sure if I want that one either. The thing about gifts is that you got to know that there is no gift receipt, right? You can't take it back, you know? So whatever God gives you, he has for you and has for your good and for the glory of the kingdom. But let's go through a couple of these gifts that are in here in the text, okay? So verse 8, to one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. And so a person has this gift. They love through listening. And they are so good at listening to you. And they are so good at listening to God when they read Scripture. And they put those two things together so that when they listen to you, they listen to God and they understand what they read in Scripture. So that once they've listened to you, they can speak to you the things that are underneath the surface of what you think you're talking about. And when a lot of us have had conversations with people with the spiritual gift of wisdom, and you come walking away feeling like, man, I just heard from God. You know, I just, there's something, there was a word for me that was just, that hit me in a deep way. And so if you have that gift, man, you should be, you know, like a counselor. You should be giving relationship advice, all different stages, career advice. You could be a spiritual coach, a spiritual mentor. You could lead a TG. You should be on leadership. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. So this particular gift is, if you like to study, if you like to analyze, if you like to critique, if you like to research, clarify information, this is you. Now, the misconception is that people with the spiritual gift of knowledge, that they're really smart. They have a high IQ. That's not true. Your IQ has nothing to do with actually the spiritual gift of knowledge, because God can just give a person the spiritual gift of knowledge. It's just like, boom, he can give it to you. The way this works and how you know you have this spiritual gift of knowledge, it usually works like this. If there's something that you're curious about, that really bothers you, like, I really want to know about this, most people will just be like, well, I don't know about this. I don't want to take the time to know about it. I'll leave it to the experts or other people who are, you know, in that field. But the person with the spiritual gift of knowledge, it's not that, oh, I know everything. It's like, I'm so curious about it that I will actually study, that I will actually read, that I will actually research, that I will actually find differing and varying opinions so that I can become like a semi-expert. They want to become a semi-expert, not in everything, but in certain things where they're really driven to understand and to know. So this is a very practical gift. People with this gifting should teach a class. You should lead a TG. You should disciple and mentor others in the areas that you're becoming a semi-expert in. You profit others because you teach the truth that sets people free. To another, faith by the same Spirit. This isn't faith to know God. This is a secure orientation of faith. This is a secure orientation that you believe in the goodness and the presence of God in this particular situation. Sometimes your confidence really freaks people out, you know, because, you know, other people are thinking about the circumstances. Other people are thinking about the money. Other people are thinking about the logistics and other people thinking about everything that's against this. But they just see you and you're just all God and God is good and God is here. That kind of freaks people out. But man, that gifting is so necessary in the church. We need people that can see beyond the weeds, that can see beyond what's going on and just say God is here and that God is with us. And a person like that, again, you should be serving on leadership teams. You should be leading prayer groups, leading a TG. You should encourage those especially who are going through really tough times. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. And I don't know, this is a gift that I always wish that I had. I wish I had the gift of healing. But don't come to me, you know, if you have a illness or something. If I pray for you 9 times out of 10, you'll get worse. You know, I just don't have that particular gifting. But here's the thing, when it comes to gifting and gifts that you feel like you don't have. When I pray a lot for people who have physical, ailments, who are sick. I pray a lot for people who are sick. I don't say, man, I don't have that gift, therefore I'm not going to, because I don't have the gift, I'm not going to pray. I'm not going to do that service because I don't have that gift. I'm not going to do that. When I pray, because I don't have that gifting, I still do it. I still pray for people that are sick. And when I pray for people that are sick, I try to pray with faith. I don't have the gift of faith, but I really, really, really try to pray with faith. Like, when people pray for people who are sick, and I'm not saying this is wrong, but this is just something I don't do. When people pray for people who are sick, we always have to give God this, like, get out of jail free card. Like, okay, God, we really pray for this person to get healed, but if it's not your will, just in case, you know, if things don't work out well for this person, God, you know, we don't blame it on you. There's this get out of jail free card, you know, that we can always use so that God's name somehow doesn't get defamed. I'm not saying that's a bad way to pray, but I just don't pray that way. And the reason I just pray and I pray for healing and I just try to pray boldly for that with faith is because when I look at Jesus, the way that he prays for people to get healed, or when Paul or the apostles prayed for the way that people get healed, they never gave God an exception clause. They never said, you know, this isn't going to make you look really bad. This is going to make you look really bad if this person doesn't get healed. No, they just pray in faith. They just pray that they're going to get healed. And so that's just the way I pray. All right? To another, prophecy. That's one of my gifts, and I didn't always have that gift. My gift started off as the gift of encouragement, you know, again, through words, and it grew into prophecy. Prophecy is not this fortune-telling thing with the crystal ball, okay? That's not what it is. There's an aspect of future-telling, but it's mostly really forth-telling. And prophecy is simply where there's kind of an inbreaking, I would say, of a word from the Spirit to us. There is an inbreaking of a word of conviction, a word of challenge, a word of knowledge that is coming from God to other people. So many people, of course, who are pastors and teachers, you know, have this gift, but some of my best, the people who speak into my life the most are not pastors, and they have the prophetic gift, and they can speak into my life. Definitely, my wife is one of them. To another, distinguishing between spirits. What is that? Have you ever been in a situation where you're wondering, something happened to you, or a particular circumstance, or a particular opportunity comes your way, and you're wondering, is this from God, is this from myself, or is this from the devil, right? Have you asked that? You're like, what is it? What's going here? What should I do? These are the type of people that you go to who can discern things pretty quick, and sometimes that scares us, okay? That was a little bit too quick. How do you know? Well, I don't know. I'm just using my gift. I just kind of know, right? And so those are the kind of people that we need in our lives that can discern through some of our own cloudiness when we get in the way of ourselves. All right, and to another, the speaking of tongues, speaking different kinds of tongues. So the tongue is an ability to speak in a language that you don't know, and you speak it to God. Now, this particular gift, all right, tends to freak people out in the church. And at this particular time, I believe, like, in a good balance of gifts. I believe all of them are active and alive today. But at this particular time, God doesn't use this particular gift of tongues in SCAC in a corporate sense, okay, in a venue like this. And I'm not really even sure that it's necessary, but maybe there might be a time where God says it's necessary to do something like that. But on a personal level, I know that some of you, I want to affirm you, because there are some of you that I know that do speak in tongues, that do speak in your prayer time, in your own personal time, do speak in tongues. On occasion, we'll do that. For me, myself, I speak in tongues on occasion in prayer just by myself. This is just only for me. So a tongue, if you use it in a public service, like, nobody knows, it's just gibberish. No one knows what you're saying, right? So a tongue doesn't profit anyone, especially if you don't understand. But a tongue absolutely profits God, who receives what the tongue is saying. Because the tongue, if you study it a little more, it's always oriented as worship and praise to God. And so the tongue is profitable because God himself receives that heart of devotion from where it comes. To another, the interpretation of tongues. That's helpful. And then, okay, so how do you begin now to discover your gifts? And man, you know, a lot of us here have taken those online assessments, right? Some of them are free. Some of them cost $30. And so you can go ahead and do that. But, you know, think about this. Where did Peter and Paul and Mary and Martha, how did they figure out their gifts, right? Where did Luther and Calvin and Zwingli, like, where did they figure out their gifts, right? What did they do before they could do the online assessment? I just want to give you three questions that'll help you discern where your spiritual gifts may lie. Number one, okay, is what characters or stories in the Bible are you drawn to? What characters or stories in the Bible that you're drawn to? If you find yourself drawn to the adventures of Paul, the leadership of Moses, the courage of Joshua, the fierceness of David, then it's very possible that your gifting is leadership. If you're drawn to the ministry of Jesus, the way he shepherds people, Peter and Paul as well, your gifting might be prophecy. Your gifting might be apostleship. Your gifting might be in shepherding. Mary and Martha, right? Which one are you? If you identify with Mary who sits at Jesus' feet, soaking in, you know, the good news and the teaching, then maybe your gifting is knowledge. It could be mercy. It could be prayer. It could be discernment. If you identify with Martha, your gifting could be in administration and serving. If you're drawn to the Jesus' banquet parables, then your spiritual gift might be eating, like me. All right, number two, second question. Examine your passions and your natural inclination. Examine your passions and your natural inclination. Just because we have the gift of administration, we know a lot of non-believers who are really gifted in administration, don't we? You know? So, like, what's the difference? Well, the only really difference is that, you know, this is directed towards God, giving him glory. And I think God can also use that in a more powerful, significant way when we submit our gifts to God. So examine your natural passions and inclinations. What are you already good at? What makes you pound your fist on the table and say, this cannot stand, this cannot be, this needs to change? What creates energy in you to say those things, to actually do something? Those are very likely where your gifting, where the Spirit is stirring something. Ask your friends, ask your pastor. Number three, try different areas of service. Try different areas of service. You know, especially sometimes God will just give you a word and to do something out of the blue, just to do it. And if you ever feel God tugging at your heart to do that, man, just do it. Just try it, okay? He's probably trying to reveal something to you. But here's the deal, is that sometimes when we don't know, you just need to dive into something. You just need to try. You might start working with children's ministry. You might volunteer at a shelter. You might be invited to serve on our leadership board. Just do it. Just give it a try. Don't try to think about it too hard, especially if you're just unsure. The worst thing that can happen is that you've done something good. The worst thing that's happened is that you benefited something else, you know? And you're probably going to find sometimes by doing things what is not your gift. And you might even find what is your gift. So your gift is for the profit. It is for the common good of others. And what that means is that every gift needs an outlet. Every gift needs an outlet. You need to discover your gifting. You need to use your gifting to serve the body and to move things forward. And, you know, this is, you know, at SCAC, this is so, so important. This is such an important just personal value for me. And actually is a very important value to our leadership, like our elder board and things like that, to our pastors, is that there is incredible freedom here at SCAC, in this place, to exercise, to operate, and to use your gifts. Sometimes, I appreciate this, sometimes people will ask me almost like permission. Like, hey, Roy, can I try this, or I want to do this, or something like that. And sometimes, you know, and I just inside, I'm like, why are you even asking me? You know, just go ahead and do it. I just think that's such an important value of a church, and it's so important to me, the value of freedom and expressing and in using your gift. Now, I appreciate when people come to me with different ideas, like how they want to use their gift. I've never said no. I have never once said no. There's only one time I said no. And there's this really good dear brother, had the best intentions, you know, and I'm not sure his gifting was either in maybe hospitality, maybe something to do with evangelism or shepherding or something. And he said, Roy, here's the deal. I have a lot of non-Christian friends, and we hang out on Friday nights, and we drink. We go to happy hour. We do that a lot. This is my idea, okay? I want to bring happy hour to the church. So on Friday night, we're going to kind of deck out the fellowship hall and the kitchen window there. That's going to be like the bar area. And so we'll line up shots there and things like that. And so this is you're looking at me like, this can't be real. This is real. This is 100% real, okay? And so I said, well, okay, Friday night, you know, we have a lot of junior high kids going through the fellowship hall. We've got a lot of high schoolers going through the fellowship hall. And, you know, they all kind of, you know, that temptation to drink and things like that. And college students, you know, as well. And they're right at that age where they can drink and they're not supposed to, but there's all the temptation to go to the parties and things like that. And I said, well, you know, is that really setting the right example? And not only that, but if there are going to be a lot of non-believers, then if they come in, I mean, you know, they're going to be okay with getting drunk, right? I mean, we're going to actually have people walking around the church who are like buzzed and or drunk. So what are we going to do, right? And he says, well, we can, obviously, we'll have to give people rides home. And we can, like, hire, like, contract with a cab service and, you know, take people home, you know. And so, again, I don't have the gift of mercy. So I said, get behind me, Satan. That's what I said to him. And no, but I didn't say that. But I said, no, I said, I'm sorry. We just, you know, I'm not there. We just can't do that. So that's the only time I've ever said no. But let me tell you something, church. This brother, I so valued his innovation. I so valued his initiation, his idea, his initiative. He volunteered to do something with his gift rather than waiting to be asked. He saw a need, and he wanted to match it with his gift. I will take a believer with initiative and innovation who fails miserably, has bad ideas. I'll take that person any day to serve on leadership with me than a person who is lazy or uninspired about their gifting. I want you to hear the energy behind Peter's description of how to exercise your gift. In 1 Peter 4:10, he says this, each of you should use whatever gift you have. He's like, whatever you got, in whatever quantity or maturity that you have, use it, whatever you got. Don't worry about what other people have. Don't compare yourself. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. It's not about you. Stop making this about yourself and love others, because that's what it's about. We serve and we love others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. God is super creative in what he can do. So if anyone speaks, so here it is. Again, this he goes back a lot to the speaking thing. If anyone speaks, they should do so. How? As one who speaks the very words of God. Wow. He's like, so if you're going to pray with faith, then pray with faith. You don't need an exception clause, right? If you're going to speak and if you're going to give wisdom, then speak and give wisdom. If anyone serves, and that's, you know, that's the broad category of all the gifts. All the giftings are there for us to serve the body of Christ. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and power forever and ever. Amen. You see the energy in which Peter says the way that believers ought to use their gifts, so that when we serve with gusto. When we serve with gusto and we serve with inspiration. The way we ought to serve, the way we ought to use our gifts. Now, there are some Christians, and so I'm going to need my helpers. If there are some Christians, not Christians here, okay, but there's other, like, bad Christians, okay? They're kind of like this, all right? So Evan and Rebecca, you know, they just got engaged last week, right? Pretty cool, right? Yeah. So I asked them to kind of just be my experimental guinea pigs here just to demonstrate something for me. Okay, so I'm going to need you to, this is for you, if you could put this on, and if you could put this on for me, okay, be great. All right, so there are some Christians, okay, that are kind of like this, where we just like to kick it robe style all the time. We're just really relaxed, and you have a seat, yeah, So there are some guys, some men that I know, like grown, like they're in their 30s and 40s and stuff like that. And their life is about like just it's being relaxed and they like to play their video games, right? And you know, your bag of chips, you know, to eat, right? And then what's that? Yeah. And of course you gotta watch TV, right? I mean, you're king of the house and you know, hold the remote and things like that, right? And so and then women too, there's some women I know, and then of course they have their bag of chips as well. And well, this is really good. You have slippers on. Can I put these slippers on you? And I've got someone. Can someone bring me my DVDs? I've got all. Is it six seasons of Lost? Yeah. Can I put this on? Okay, for you. Okay, yeah. These are really nice. Yeah. Okay. Thanks. Yeah. This is all five seasons. The complete five seasons of Lost. It's an amazing series. Yeah. Okay. All right. So when you think about this, right? When you look at this person, is this a person who's ready, you know, to serve and to use their gifting, you know, for the kingdom of God? You know, is this person really, you know, in the way they are? Are they really attractive? Yeah, you know, is that women? When you see this man who's ready for watching TV, you know. I mean, he just doesn't look like the man that's ready for action, ready to use his gift. Does he look like a person who's ready for the kingdom of God to flow through them? Does this make him, ladies, does this make him attractive? Okay, all right. So same thing, you know. Does this woman look like she's ready, you know, to use her gifting and use all her capacities for the goodness of other people who are poor, who need help? Does this look like a person? Okay, yeah, does this... Is this, for guys, is this an attractive kind of woman that you want to, you know, no, is this really, really it? Okay, all right. So, here's the thing, is that I know that, I know Christians who, like, this is their vision, honestly. This is what they're aiming for. This is what they're aiming for every day after work. This is what they're aiming for every weekend. If I can just do this, I'll work hard during the week, like I'll do my job and things like that. But this is the vision for my weekend and my weeknights, if I can just come back and do this. I am not for Christians burning out by any stretch of the measure, not at all. But I have a vision for my life that I hope that you'll share, at least as well, that I think is modeled from Christ and a lot of the biblical heroes, is that at the end of your life, we're a bit crispy. We are. There's a part of us that's a bit burned out. It's like we're ready to go home. And we're ready to go home, not because we're tired of living this luxury life of luxury. It's because we're ready to go home because we know that our lives have been spent well for the purposes of God. Like at the end of near my life, I want to have this picture where like I knew that I didn't hold back, that I gave it all. For Jesus, for the one who gave it all for me. So I don't know what your vision and picture of your life is, but anyway, it's not anyone here who has a picture of this, right? We want to spend our lives for Jesus. These guys are awesome guys. Thank you for being our guinea pigs. So Evan, Evan, what is your spiritual gift, and how are you using it?
Just one.
Yeah, give me
teaching.
And what else?
Giving.
Okay, and how are you using that? Okay, so teaching, giving are his spiritual gifts. He understands, he knows what they are. He's using them as a counselor, as leader in Koinonia. Rebecca, how about you? What are some of your gifts?
I'm losing my voice.
Okay.
Service and mercy.
And where are you using that?
Teach Sunday school.
Okay, so service and mercy are her spiritual gifts. She knows them right here, and she's using them in Sunday school. Thank you guys so much. Appreciate it. Yeah, you can keep that. Yep. I'll need some of those things back. Mason, that's Mason's game controller. So
I figured. Yeah, it's not yours.
Yeah. I need the remote control too. You guys can keep the Cheetos and stuff like that. That's fine. Yeah. Okay. Thanks, guys. Thank you. All right. So if you notice how Paul, okay, he keeps on adding, it's the same spirit. It's the same spirit. It's the one and the same spirit when you go back to that list of gifts. And that he distributes to each one. Verse 11, he sums it all up in verse 11. All these are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and the Spirit distributes to each one because every believer has a gift, right? Remember that, just as he determines. And then Paul, he goes on to say, right, that those, hang on, let me put these on. He goes on to say that we're supposed to use all these gifts for the purpose of building up the body of Christ, right? But realize this. When he talks about using our gifts to serve in the body of Christ, Paul is, he's going to spend the next 2 to 3 chapters just talking about gifts. He is not talking about how we use our gifts because we need more Sunday school teachers, okay? He's not trying to, like, we're the church, and, like, we need people over here to fill this role, and people over here to fill this role, and we don't have enough Sunday school teachers and nursery. He's not going to spend the next 3 chapters because he needs more Sunday school teachers. Trust me, in his church, he needed more Sunday school teachers. Definitely, he did, because he always needed more Sunday school teachers, okay? But that is not what he's getting at. Paul, what he does, and Paula Rose is going to come in and preach the next 2 Sundays. He's getting at, he connects the church's humble and joyful use of their gifts with the larger mission of the church. He connects. In other words, the church advances its mission as believers together manifest their gifts. Super important. The church advances its mission as believers together manifest their gifts. Verse 7, the manifestation of the Spirit. That's what it says. It's an ability or ministry in which the Spirit actualizes. It becomes real. God becomes real. It moves the mission forward as people use their gifting. The church moves forward not by human ingenuity or effectiveness, but by the Spirit's manifestation as the Spirit of God is here among us working. And I see it all this time in the deacon board. Just for example, you know, and so in the deacon board, I don't need people who can fill up another chair because we need another chair filled, or we have to have some kind of quorum of the number of people that we have. We recruit people to be on the deacon board because of they have a history, a track record of utilizing their gift that moves God's mission forward to accomplish what God wants to accomplish. And for us, that means like monthly meetings, right? Emails, coordination. Sometimes we're tired, definitely. But when we meet, there is a manifestation of the Spirit. My gifting is more in the vision area and the prophetic in those areas, but I can't lead by myself. The church would be so horrible. I mean, if you think it's bad now, okay, it would just be even worse if it's just me by myself leading, okay? But that's why, if I'm a forest person, that's why I need the trees person. I need a person who knows every tree and how to navigate around those trees. That's why we have an administrative leader like Minda. I need a discerning, problem-solving leader like my wife, Angel. I need a strategic thinker who can really has a good, sharp mind like John. We need people that will execute and serve with heart and inspiration and passion like Pauline and Lisa. We need each other. We serve together not because we're trying to fill a slot. It's because we're using our gifts to try to move the kingdom of God forward. Gifts operate on the individual level. But here it is. When the majority of the church, when the majority of people are actually exercising their gifts within the body of Christ, that's when the larger mission is accomplished. And God's mission is very difficult to get accomplished if it's only a few. But when the majority of people begin to understand and discover the gifts and use them, that's when God's mission begins moving forward. 7 years back, SCAC created the website, right? We had because our website before was really not good. And, we didn't revamp the website because it was really cool to have a cool website. No, we used it because we wanted to communicate our vision and help people understand what our vision is and to move things forward. So James Hua, he organized the team because he's a good leader organizer. Kathy Wu, she did our graphics. And Kim Lum, she did our photography. And Kara Wong, she was responsible for content. Josh Ng did testing, evaluation, feedback. And then we had some very gifted, Sandra Lee. She's so awesome. A lot of people don't know her, but man, she's the one who really built that from the ground up, did all the coding, and Jeremy Lee helped out as well. And I brought the food because of the banquet stories and eating, gifting, remember? That's what I did for the team. So in the moment when we're serving those gifts, some of those gifts can seem really mundane, right? Can seem really boring. Even today, like I'm the one, I email Jeremy and say, Jeremy, The next community dinner night is next Wednesday. Could you update the website, right? I mean, how interesting is that, right? But do you know how many people and believers and non-believers are getting connected to each other through community dinner nights? It's huge. It's moving our mission forward. You know Steve Stauffer, our children's pastor, that when the reason that he applied and was so drawn to our church, he tells me the exact webpage. I'm under the Justice and Mission, you know, the ministry tab under the Justice and Mission content page. If you look at that page, it's boring. I mean, there's no graphics. There's no flash animation. It's just text. But it describes our heart and our understanding of the gospel and how it plays out in justice and mercy and faithfulness. That's why he wanted to serve here. I think of Monica Kia Worship, one of our worship leaders, and she was singing, right? And she was sharing last week how, she's from Australia, and she got a job with Microsoft, and she went to an Alliance church back in Australia where she lived. And when she came here, she didn't know anybody. And so she Googled, Seattle Chinese Alliance Church. That's how she found us. And came up, and she wouldn't have Googled it. She would have binged it because she's a Microsoft employee. And thankfully, it still got us here, too, you know. But I'm so glad she's here. And she's here, and she leads worship, and she shares. She uses her gifting. Not because God said, you know, you're really missing another worship leader. No, it's because God wants us, because she's such a great worship leader, and she helps us to love God above all their loves. God's moving the mission forward. I think of all the mission work that has happened in the past 10, 11 years with China. I think about the tens of, you know, like, I mean, I forgot how many people, different people, I mean, separately we set, you know, it was in the last year's government board report. But here's the deal. People have given their time, their talents, and their gifting to move mission forward. They have given their resources, they have given up vacation hours, they're giving up who they are, and they give it to the church. They give it to the body of Christ to move the mission forward. This year, you know, we were trying to, 2 years ago, Pauline and Angel, they went to Tanzania, right? You know, do you understand that we would never even have gone to Tanzania unless we had those actually 10 years of doing mission with China first? People, they're using our gifts to move things forward. We now sponsor 270-some kids today because of people using their gifts to move things forward. We wouldn't be where we are today because we're not putting people in positions so that we can just fill up positions. We're doing church. We're being the church, and we're moving the mission forward. If we didn't do those things and if people didn't use their gifts, we wouldn't know this person. I want to show you. Next slide. His name's Safari Jaffet. He's one of the kids that we sponsor. And I mean, this is, you know, real world stuff. And so we found out maybe about 2 months ago that this particular child that one of our people here sponsor, he passed away because of malaria. And so we've heard about those things before, right? You know, different the needs there in Africa and in Buhoma, Tanzania, and it just became really real. You know, when we had our sponsorship day, you know, I still remember what I said. I said that we have just now increased our membership at SCAC by, you know, 270 some kids. You know, Safari, you know, is one of us, right? And I'm just so glad. It's so tragic. That child is lost, but I'm just so, at the same time, I'm so thankful for the body of SCAC that we've used our gifts and we've used our talents and resources well so that we can be in a position to benefit this community so that hopefully we can prevent more deaths like these, right? Our spiritual gifting, the things that we do, it's never been just to fill a position because there's a hole somewhere. It's because there are people that need the gospel and people that need a real demonstration of the gospel in their lives. And so when it comes to the use of our spiritual gifts, each person uses their gift to accomplish the larger mission of God so that people can experience God. That's really what we want. We want people to experience God. And this is what's possible for our neighbors, our schools, our communities, our city, that when we all serve together, we help others experience and know God. I just want to close this up, church, just to say this, is that now you've heard it. Look, there's no more excuses. Discover your gift. Use your gift in the body. No more saying, I'm not ready. You know, if you wait too long to discover your gift, you're going to be too late. You receive your gift the moment you become a follower of Jesus. It's there for you to manifest the very presence of God as you exercise your gift. And you're not just filling in a position. And like many gifts, it starts out as a small baby muscle, but with exercise, it grows and it builds itself up. Then you will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful schemes. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow up to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ, from whom the whole body is joined together. From the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each one does its work. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word to the Corinthians that is just as relevant to us today. Every single person here, Father, has a gifting. Every single person here, Father, has a unique charisma so that we can serve and profit those next to us, those around the world. We just want to take this moment especially to think about Safari, her family, and survived by her parents still and two brothers. And we just thank you, Father, that World Vision was there, that Safari had the opportunity to know and see the love of Christ and the gospel demonstrated. And we're so happy that we got to be a little part of that. And it's all because people here, your church, we've used our gifting to be in a position, in a place where we can bless others in, of all places, Buhoma, Tanzania. And so we want to pray for Safari's family, and we know that there is so much pain in losing a child. And so we pray, Father, for your great peace and your great comfort to be over the parents, two brothers. And I pray the World Vision staff will continue to meet with them and continue to talk with them, continue to comfort them. And I don't know where their hearts are, Father, but we pray that they will find their ultimate comfort and their ultimate peace in a relationship with the living God who has already reached out to them, even through us in a small way. And so help us then, Father, as a church, to see that, let's just stop making excuses. Let's use our gifts. Let's not be really cynical about it, that someone's just trying to fill up a slot. None of us are trying to fill a slot. We want to see the kingdom of God manifest on earth as it is in heaven, so that your church and your kingdom would prevail. Help us to do that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen, church.